Yeah, we ended off yesterday with the we were discussing Rabbi Law's statement, right? Because Rabbi Law's statement dealt with the issue of Ganav Tleh v'nasa Ayil, Egel v'nasa Shor, Nasa Shinoi Biado v'kano. Right, that creates a Shinoi in his possession, and since there is a Shinoi in his possession, therefore, Tavachu Machar Shalohu Toveach V'Shalohu Mocher. That was the statement of Rabbi Law, that the animals changing of status, meaning from growing up, maturing, and because of that maturity, it's changing its name, that Shinoi, was enough to put it into possession of the Ganav. And since it was in possession of the Ganav, then when he is Toveach and Mocheret, he's no longer Toveach and Mocher in the context of Geneva, where he'd be Chayiv Dalavahei, but rather he's Toveach and Mocher his own. So we had a challenge from Rabbi Chanina to that Braisa, and that challenge related to a Braisa that says, Ganav Tveh v'nase Ayel, Egel v'nase Shor, Meshalem Tashlumei Kefa, Tashlumei Arba v'chamisha, Ke'en Sheganav. It's pretty clear that even though the animal has matured and changed its name, that that is not sufficient to take it out of the possession of the, or out of the context of Geneva, and he's still Chayev Arba v'chamisha. Then the Gemara challenged or brought a general challenge down, which is Rabbi Zeirus, and what about this Shinoi Hashem? Why isn't Shinoi Hashem sufficient? So the Gemara said, Amarava, that Shor ben Yomo is Kari Shor, and Al ben Yomo is Kari Ayil. So there really is no Shinoi Hashem here, because even though when the animal grows up and matures, that's its name, but even in its younger age, or younger, when it's young, even though there is an alternative name to it, it still does not lose or does not have the name that it acquires when it is mature. The other possibility is Rav Sheshet, who says this is Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai says that Shinoi b'mkomo omedet, that Shinoi is not a reason or does not have the ability to create a kinyan over here. So those are the two answers about why Shinoi Hashem is not a problem in our case over here, or why Shinoi Hashem is not sufficient to create the kinyan. Either one, because there is no Shinoi Hashem, or two, Rav Sheshet says because it's Beit Shammai. And then we discussed machlokes between Bitel and Beit Shammai be'etnan zona. And in Etnan Zona, we saw that the position, if a woman is paid for her services with chitin or zeitin or anavim, which could have been used on the Mizbeach, and then they're changed, she works on them or does something to them to change them into flour, oil, or wine. So we have two brightot. One says it's asur, one says it's mutar. And Rabbi Yosef explains that the one who says it's asur is Beit Shammai, and the one who says it's mutar is Beit Hillel. So now we ended off yesterday's daf at the bottom of yesterday's daf. My time at the Beit Shammai. What's the reason behind Beit Shammai? Dichtiv gam l'rabot shinuyahem. Because gam includes even things, even changes to the item. It retains its status as being asur l'mizbeach. Ubeit Hillel. Beit Hillel uses another word in the pasuk. Heim velo shinuyahem. That it's exclusively them and not their derivatives or that which is comes out of them or changed from them. Ubeit Shammai. Hahu heim. Velo v'lado tehem hu da'ata. Beit Shammai uses the word heim to teach you them and not their offspring. So even though their derivatives would be classified still as etnan zona, nevertheless their offspring are not classified as etnan zona. Ubeit Hillel, tarte shmat mino. They learn both things. Heim is an exclusive term. I mean, it's exclusive in both senses. It's exclusive in the sense that velo shinu hem, them and not their derivatives. Veheim, velo v'lado tehem, and them exclusively and not their offspring. Beit Hillel aktiv gam. What does Beit Hillel do with the word gam? So Gemara says, gam the Beit Hillel kasha. Gam for Beit Hillel is still a question. Now Gemara says, ad kan lo plige. The machlokes between Rabbi Lo and Rabbi Chanina on the previous staff. Ella, the marsava shinoi kone. Umasava ain't shinoi kone. That one of them thinks that shinoi is kone, and one thinks that shinoi is not kone. Aval the inyan shlume, when it comes to payment, kuli amma kidmi kara mishalem. Right, that everybody agrees that you pay, right, according to the original value. Diktani, shalem teshlume kefil, v'teshlume arba v'chamisha, ke'ein sheganav, at the time of the theft. So, lema tavi tiyufta derav. So, this is where we started yesterday's daf, and we got segued into a number of items. But now we're back to Rav's position. If you remember, Rav's position was that when it came to the keren, you pay ke'en sheganav, because that came out of the word chayim and gneva in the pasuk, that teach you achia the keren kegneva, that you establish keren like the moment it was stolen. Whereas when it came to kefel and daud v'chamisha, you pay those right only at kedahashto, right as the current time. But both Rabbi Yilo and Rabbi Chanina seem to agree that Kefel and Alad B'Chamisha are paid Ke'ein Sheganav. The only question is there a Shinoi here or no Shinoi? As long as there is a Shinoi, they both agree that there wouldn't be any payment here. On the other hand, if there is no Shinoi, they both agree that you pay Kefel and Alad B'Chamisha Ke'ein Sheganav. And that would be a problem for Rav. So the Gemara says, Leimet Ab to Yuf to the Rav. Dama Rav, because we saw Rav's position before, Keren Ke'ein Sheganav, Mishalem. You pay at the time that he is brought to court. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, that's not a problem. Tla'im kidimi kara, damim kishel achshav. Rav Yashu will bifurcate this din, or bifurcate the din between the animal itself and the valuation of the animal. If you remember before, as we mentioned on the end of the previous Talmud, that Rabbi Chanina is of the position that you can make a claim, the Ganav can make a claim. How come I pay Kain Shin Ganav? It's because when I stole it from you, I stole a tle, I stole a keves, I stole a lamb, I stole a goat. I did not steal a full-grown animal, and therefore I only have to compensate you the age of the animal or the maturity of the level of maturity of the animal that I stole from you. On the other hand, there's another issue. The other issue is, when do we assess the value of that animal? So as the Gemara says, we'll differentiate. What is Ke'in Sheganav, and what is Ke'dahashta? Ke'in Sheganav, that Rav is referring to, is that you pay the age, right, or the type of animal that you stole at the moment that you stole it. So we don't look at now what the current age or the current status of the animal is. We look at, okay, when you stole it, it was a tle. Now, you want to value what a tle is, we look at the current valuation of what a tle is. So again, that will solve our problem now, because Rav, who says Ke'in Sheganav, is referring to the age, maturity, the status of the animal. And the Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yiloh, who both agreed, or from their brayta, it seemed that we pay kedahashta, that we pay like currently, that'll be referring to the assessed value. The assessed value is at the moment, right, that we, at the moment that we bring them to din, the current value of that, or the current replacement value of the item that he stole back at the time that he stole it. That's the way the Re explains it. That's the way it seems Rashi seems to explain it this way as well. The Rabbeinu Tam has a slightly alternative pshat that he seems to suggest that there's no difference between the tlaim and the value change, meaning that there's no difference between the age of the animal and the current value. But rather, this is the interpretation. What does this mean? That the tlaim right, so that when we're talking about the case in the Bryce is a case where their value went up. So now remember, if you remember back on the previous daf, right, that we brought down the position of Rabba. The position of Rabba was, right, if you stole a barrel of wine that was worth a zuz, and then it climbed in value to 4 zuz, that you repay him 4 zuz. And we question Rabba's position on Rav. And we say, no, you know what? Rav agrees to Rabba. That Rav agrees when the value of the item, the market value of the item goes up, you have to pay kedahashta, you have to pay the current value. The only question of Rav's position was only applicable where the market value of the item went down. And when the market value of the item went down, then you pay ke'ein sheganav for the keren and kedahashta for the daud chamisha and the kefel. Differentiating, the way the Rabbeinu Tam seems to differentiate or pulls apart Rav, he says when the Gemara concluded before that Rav only applied when there was a deterioration in market value, that means that Rav's position that we pay Ke'ein Sheganav by Karen and we pay Kedahashto current value, right, of the Arba V'Chamisha, that's only a case where there was a deterioration in value. But where there was an increase in value, and we said before he holds like Rabba in that case, and Rav's whole position doesn't apply over there, he'll agree that you pay Kedahashta when it comes to the Karen, but when it comes to Dalad B'Chamisha, he would agree that you still pay Ke'en Sheganav, that he doesn't, there's no Chumrah, there's no reason to push on him to pay the 4 or 5 times at the current increased market value. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam. It's not the, I don't think it's the easiest pshat. I think the Re and the Rashi seem to me to flow easier in the Gemara. But the Rabbeinu Tam gives this alternative suggestion as to what the Gemara's conclusion here is, that the Braisa and Rav are talking about two different cases. And since they're talking about two different cases, there are going to be different conclusions about when you pay the Dalad HaMisha. When you pay dollar chamisha ke dahashto, that's when there's a deterioration in market value. When there is an appreciation in market value, then you pay kein sheganav. And that's what the Bryce is talking about, appreciation, and Rav is talking about depreciation. All right, now, the Gemara is going to discuss a machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba and Rav Yosef have a basic machlokas about Yeush. The first part of it is, Amar Rabba, shinoi kone, that a change biyadayim, meaning that when you physically change the object, that you are kone it. A person is kone it with that type of shinoi. Ktiva vitanina. It's written explicitly in the Torah, and it's also in the Brais or in the Mishnah. Ktiva, it says in the Pasuk, Shiveta gzela asher gazal, you return the gzela that which you stole. Mato maloma asher gazal. What do you mean that the one that he took? Im ke enche gazal yakzir. If he has the item like it is, meaning that the current item that he took, then he hands it back. Vim lav damim ba'alma. Then he's by lishlumet. And if it's not extant, if the item's not available, then he's got to pay the equivalent value of the item. So you see that there's a way in which there's no longer going to be an item around. And what's that? That's a case of shinoi, where you made a change in the item. Since the item is no longer the item that he took, now he's going to have to compensate, right, with money. Tanino, we have a brisa. A gozel itzim vasan kelim. Someone steals wood or boards and makes them into utensils. Tzemer vasan begadim, wool, and he makes it into clothing. Mishalem kishata gzela. He pays based on the original value. They said, why does he pay it based on the original value? Because when he changed the item and he made it into something new, he was kone it. So at that point, that's when he becomes chayav. He was chayav at that point in time, so he pays kein gzela at the time that he stole it. Inami. The other possibility is, though, he's speaking it, no, achitzav o. Another Mishnah is actually a Mishnah about Reshita Gez. Reshita Gez is the requirement that your first shearing goes to the Kohen. So what happens if when he first sheared his sheep, instead of giving it to the Kohen, he goes in and he dyes it, right? Instead of giving it right away to the Kohen, he dyes it. Patur, then he no longer has to pay Reshita Gez. It says, I'm a shinoi kone. Must be that he's kone through that shinoi. The fact that he did something to the wool to change its status makes it no longer accessible to the Kohen. And he doesn't have to compensate the Kohen because the Kohen can't make any claim. It's a problem that it's mamon she'en lo tovim. And now that he's kone it through the shinoi, there's no longer a claim against him for the reshita geiz. Yes, it would seem that way. The Gemara never explicitly says that. And the Gemara is going to go basically now based on this premise that everybody agrees shinoi kone and never brings up Beit Shammai again. Even though we know there's this position of Beit Shammai that shinoi eino kone, the Gemara almost ignores Beit Shammai's position from this point forward. Right? Yeush, when it comes to Yeush is the owners giving up hope of getting their object back. Imre Rabbanan Dinikne. The Rabbanan say that Yeush is enough to make a kinyan. Now, the question about that is, Mi lo yadini doraito y derabonon. I don't know. When the Rabbanan said that Yeush, the giving up of the owners of any hope of getting their item back, is that a Torah principle or is that a rabbinic principle? Why? Idoraisa, what does it mean? It's a idoraisa principle, mida hava motze aveda. It's equivalent of someone who finds something that is lost. Motze aveda lav kevin demi aish mara mina mikame de tete liade konile. That if the person who lost an object gives up hope, or it is a hopeless situation, I mean, it lacks simanim, or was washed away where nobody, it was no chance of him getting it back. In that case, when the person finds the aveda, he's konet, he can keep it. So Hainami came into Miyayish Mara. So it's over here, since the one who has been stolen from has given up hope of getting his object back, Koni Le, then he can be Kone. Almo Koni. So maybe it is Kone Midoraisa Yeush. Oh, Dilma. Oh, Dilma Lo Domi La Veda. Maybe it's nothing like Aveda. Why is it nothing like Aveda? Aveda Hu Dechi Atiliode Behetera Atiliode. Aveda, he only picks up the lost object after the owner has given hope of getting it back. Avahai, in our case over here, the ganav is given to Yisurat Eliyadeh. How did he only acquired it by stealing it, right? And the Yeush really happened after he brought it into his possession and in a legal or unlawful manner. So that's midarabonon hu. So therefore, it's only midarabonon that Yeush works. Da'amar rabonon. Rabonon say, why does Yeush work? Nikne mipnei takanat hashavim. They said it works because we want to allow people, this is the Takanat HaShavim, which is we want to allow people to do tshuva. Because if we don't allow it to be koneh, if we don't allow you through yeush to be koneh the object, then people are not going to step up to the plate and give things back, because he's going to have to undo anything he did with this object. And maybe he built it into his house, he did something with the object, and now he's going to have to undo all that to give it back. There's a less likelihood that he's going to do tshuva and give it back. So Chachamim says, in this instance, where there's yeush of the Baalim, even though it's not really koneh midoraisa, the Chachamim instituted that he can pay back in like or in kind instead of paying the actual object back. So it'll be only an institution, derabonon. So that's Rabba's position. Rabba's position is if you have a shinui biyadayim, that's koneh midoraisa. Yeush, he has a suffix whether that's koneh midoraisa, similar to Aveda, or yeush is only a takanas Chachamim of takanas Hashavim to allow or make it easier for people to do tshuva. Now Rav Yosef disagrees, and Rav Yosef Amar, Yeush ain't kone, v'afilu midrabanan. Rav Yosef makes a blanket statement that Yeush is not kone, no matter, forget about d'oraisa d'rabanan, it's not kone even midrabanan. Yeush never works. Right now, right, in an Aveda, Rav Yosef would agree that Yeush, right, because, again, because of the differential between Aveda and Gneva, where Yeush really almost makes the object hefker before it comes into his possession. All right. Right, right. Well, Rabba is certain that it's koneh. He's just not sure whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan. Rav Yosef is certain it's not koneh, period. So there is a certain amount of certainty in Rabba's position, which there is a kinyan. He's just unsure as to what the level of that kinyan is, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan. Okay. Eitavei Rav Yosef the Rabbo. So Rav Yosef challenges Rabba's position. Gazal, this is a mission we've seen on a recurring basis. Gazal chametz varvalalav pesach. He steals chametz, and then Pesach shows up. Amar lo, the ganav can say to him, Harishal chalefanecha, here is your chametz back. So even though now it is isurei hana'ah, right, we know that this is what's called hezek sheinu nikar. Since there's no change in the object, he can hand back the chametz that he stole and say, here it is, here's your chametz back. V'hai, kevin de mata idan isura vademi ayesh. What do you mean? When the owners had chametz, and it shows up, and Erev Pesach comes around, and he still hasn't got his chametz back, the owner gives up all hope of seeing this chametz anymore. He has no interest in this chametz. He basically is miyayesh, gives up all hope of seeing the chametz, because he knows it's Pesach. And if it's Pesach, it's going to make it into a surei ano. So he definitely gives up hope. Well, if he gives up hope over here, that's yeush. If you think yeush is koneh, then how can the person say, harishol chalefanecha? The only way Harishal Chalefanecha works is if the chametz always remained in the possession of the original owner. And since it remained in the possession of the original owner, right, he can return it to the original owner and say Harishal Chalefanecha. But if we say Yeush is Koneh, and it's clear that we had Yeush over here, then it's his object now. If it's his chametz, he can't hand his chametz to replace the chametz that he stole. So it's clear from here, or at least Rav Yosef said, it's clear from here that Yeush is not koneh. No, he can return, but he can't return the, he can't come and say that this chametz of Yisurei Anah are worthless. So he can't come and say, here, take this chametz as payment. It's a worthless object. Because it's a worthless object. He can't replace it. You can't replace an object with something that's worthless. What you can, there are two options when you are paying back Gazela. One option is to give back the actual object that you stole. The actual object. No other object, but the actual object that you stole. The other option is to give back the value in kind of the object that you stole. So if it's the original chametz, then he can hand it back and say, Harishol Chalefanecha, because he's returning the original object. Once he's making it in lieu, meaning he's making payment, he can't hand Yisurei Anah as payment, because those are worthless. Right? He can't make payment with something that's worthless. So if he's koneh it, that means that the original object is no longer around. Then the wrong register is not around, then you have an assessed value and you can't pay with something that is worthless. V'salka dotcha yeush koneh. If you think that yeush is koneh, amay omer lo, arishol chalefanecha. Dmei ma'alya bai lishlumilei. How can he say arishol chalefanecha? He's got to pay, make full payment. He's got to make payment in lieu or in payment in kind. Samarlei, ki ka amino ano. So Rabbi explains, when I say yeush is koneh, zem mityayesh, v'zeh rotelik note. Wait a minute, you have to have two parties to have a kinyan by yeush. It's not just because one party has yeush, the other party is automatically koneh. One party has to have yeush, that's the makneh, and the koneh has to have das to be koneh. Hi, zemit yeush, zeinu rotelik note. In this instance, the ganav or the gazlan has no interest in being koneh for both two reasons. One is because it's chametz and it's right before Pesach, and number two is because if he is koneh, he can't return it to the balim anymore. So in that case, we're saying, yeah, sure, there is yeush from the makne, from the side of the balim, but from the side of the gazlan or the ganav, there is no kinyan. So therefore, he doesn't take possession of it. So true, there is yeush over here, but there's no kinyan because nobody's making a kinyan over here. So now, eight. Where is it right now? Yeah, it's probably, yeah, that sounds about right. It's about, yeah. Whether it's true hefker is a question. Tosos on the previous element, I didn't get in, what the status of this chametz is, whether it's yeush, what does it make it into? The Tosos on the previous element says that even though yeush looks like hefker, it doesn't make it into true hefker over here. It says not hefker gomor. Because if it was hefker gomor, then why does it matter by aveda versus gneva? I mean, if you think about it, right, we said before there's a difference between aveda and gneva, was that aveda came to your hands in a permissible manner, and gzela came into your possession in an impermissible manner, unlawful manner. But if yeush basically makes it hefker, it should be irrelevant at that point in time. Once it's hefker, you can make a kinyan in it no matter how we got to this point in being. So it says that yeush isn't pure hefker, because otherwise it would erase all the history. So yeush is hefker with some sort of memory to it, or some sort of history to it. So it's not perfect hefker, although I would agree. In this case, it sounds like the way Rab is explaining this case of chametz is that it's almost the one party, the owner, the balim, are miyayish, meaning they give up all hope, they don't own the chametz anymore, and the gazlan or ganav doesn't want possession of it, so it is in this no man's land, it's in this, what seems to be a hefker, area of hefker. Eight vei abaye l'rabo. So Abaye asks Rabo a question. It says in the pasuk, karbano velo gazul, that you can bring your karban, when it comes to your olah, you have to bring it from your own, it has to be from chulin and not from that which is stolen. Hey chidami, what's the case of this stolen karban over here? Ilei malifnei yeush. If it's before the balim gave up hope of getting it back, lamalikra. What do I need a pasuk for? Pshita. That's simple. Why? In order to be makdish an animal, or to bring a karban, right, you have to own the animal. I mean, over here, he has no ownership over the animals. What's the question that he's going to bring it as a korban? El alav, the achar yeush. The case here must be that it was after yeush. Shema mino, yeush, lo koni. So from this, you see that yeush is not konet. Why? Because the pasuk says, karbano veloha gazul. It's after yeush, and it still classifies the korban as a stolen korban. If yeush was konet, then yes, the korban is a stolen korban, but now it's in possession of the gazlan, or possession of the ganav. So he should be able to be makdishin. He should be able to do whatever he wants with it. The fact that it still has a shame gazul on it, right, tells you that there is no kinyan from the yeush over there. So Amar Le Rova Ulite Amech. According to your reason, Hadatanya, we have a brice that says Mishkavo. Mishkavo is talking about Ish Asher Yigab Mishkavo. It's talking about Tumat Ameit. That is Exerata Katuv. That is only. This is what Rashi says. Rashi says Exerata Katuv is that. If a stolen bed, right, does not become an avatuma, l'metamei adam, that has to be mishkavo, has to be an owned mishkav, has to belong to the person in order to become tumame. So it says mishkavo v'lo agazul. So again, echidami, what's the case here? Mishkavo v'lo agazul. Ilema de gazal imra v'avde mishkav. He stole, right, he stole some items, some raw materials, and made it into a bed. Mi ika lamandamar shinu maisa lo koni. There is no one of the opinion that a shinu maisa is not kones. This goes back to show what you were asking before. There is somebody who says it, and that is Beit Shammai. But it's clear that the Gemara is ignoring, Tos mentions over here, the Gemara is ignoring Beit Shammai, and just saying, look, the halacha is like Beit Hillel, the Gemara is going like Beit Hillel. Then everybody believes that shinu maisa, right, is kones. So over here, it's clear that it was kones. Why can't it be metame? Elamayit chalameimar, the gazal mishkav de chavrei. He stole his friend's bed, his ready-made friend's bed. Achanami the gazal karban de chavrei. So that's the case over here. We thought until this point what that he stole a behemat chulin and he's trying to be makdishit. So we're saying, oh, he can't be makdishit, and that shows me whether yeush is kohen or not. Is his ability to get ownership over it, enough ownership or control in order to be makdishit. So you see from the pasuk that says Karbanova lo gazul, the fact that he does not have enough control to be makdishit means that he has no kinyan, he doesn't have any ownership or control over it. He says, no, you're reading the whole Gemara wrong. I'm going to bring you another case. The other case is Mishkavo. And I'm going to show you from Mishkavo what the meaning of Karbano is. Mishkavo means that he stole not raw materials and made it into a bed, but rather he stole a bed. He stole his friend's bed. It still remains his friend's bed. And then he puts the meat on it. When he does that, that is not, right? That is, that case is the case where it's not a tameh. So too by Karban. What's the Karban case over here? The Karban case is where he stole his friend's Karban, meaning it was already Kodesh. His friend already was Makdishin, and he steals it when it's Kodesh. And then he brings the Karban, and he brings it on the Mizbeach. So now, what do we say? Karbano v'lo gazul. What does that mean? So Rashi brings two interpretations of what that means. If you look at Rashi, the gazul Karban de Chavrei. So shehikti shev chavreiro. His friend made it Kodesh. O the olam lifnei Yeyush. It's before Yeyush over here. V'istriach la'shmi'ino comes to Yeyush. Be'ino oleh. It doesn't work at all, this Karban. It doesn't work for the Gazlan, and it doesn't work for the Balim. Even though there's no Yeush, and the original Balim still own it, but the fact is, who brought the Karban? Not them, but this Gazlan. So therefore, it does not work for the owners, and it does not work for the Gazlan. Basically, it's an Olah that is, has no Balim. Lishnach, we know, the other possibility is the Gazal Karban de Chavei. Hilkach, therefore, afil le'achar Yeush, even after Yeush, lo kanya, he can't make a kinyan on it. Why? The karban ain't a nigzal. You can't steal a karban. Tochol heichad ite be'gazad rachmane ite. God never has Yeush. It doesn't matter what the original owners think anymore. Kodesh is always Kodesh. You can't steal something from Hektesh. Hektesh remains Hektesh, and it's going to remain a korban no matter where it is or where it's stolen. So Yeush will be irrelevant in this situation because it always retains its original status of Kodesh. All right, so that's the way Rashi learns it. I'll point out here that Tosfos has a slightly different interpretation over here that Rashi explains that he stole a bed, right, of his friend, and therefore it's not Mishkav. If it doesn't belong to you, the bed doesn't belong to you, it's not Tameh. The Re says that he doesn't think that's true. That it's a case where he stole, for instance, skins. Skins that were prepared, right, but not finished. They were not completed. They could be used at this instance to be a bed or to be a sheet or to be some sort of spread. But the Balim haven't done it. The Gazlan comes along and takes them. And then he uses them as a bed. So we're going to see in a second that when it comes to Tumah, Machshava, simply having in mind to do something with the object makes it into a Gemar Malacha. And therefore, it can be a Kabel Tumah. So for the owners haven't concluded anything. They haven't had any thought about it. They haven't decided what they're going to do with it. The Gazlan comes along and steals it and makes it into a bed. So now he's had a machshava. He's made it into something that's functional. If he makes it something that's functional, you would think that would be able to be Mikabel Tumah now. That's what the Mishkavo comes to teach you. Mishkavo comes to teach you, no. The Gazlan does not have the ability to impose his machshava on the skins or on the property of the original owner. And that's what we're discussing over here. And same too over here by Korban. Right? He doesn't have the ability to impose, right, his ability of bringing the Korban. He can't do anything. He can't change the status of the Korban when he brings it to the Mikdash. All right, now, next question. Now we've challenged Rabbah. We had a question from Yosef to Rabbah. We had a question from Abayit to Rabbah. Now we have a question from Abayit to Rav Yosef. Eitve Abayit to Rav Yosef. Abayit challenges Rav Yosef's position. Orod shel bal abayit. We're talking about skins, leather of the homeowner, this is a do-it-yourself guy. Machshava mitamatam. As soon as he thinks in his mind what he wants to do with them, that means that he has something in mind which requires no more physical interaction with the skins, then they become, they're able to be mekabel tumah at that moment. Vishal abdan, on the other hand, a professional tanner who is tanning these skins, e machshava mitamatan. That machshava does nothing to them because he's always going to sell them, and he will frequently change his mind. So when he has in mind to use them, that's for the moment. He may change his mind anywhere. So only by a abdan, by a tanner or a professional, only if he does some physical change to the item, right, is it considered to be a gemara melacha. Shel ganav, when it comes to a thief, machshava mitamatan. When it comes to a ganav, it's enough for his machshava to be mitamatan. Vishel kazlan, ein machshava mitamatan. But when it comes to a gazlan, machshava is not enough to be mitamet. And Rabbi Shimon omer chiluf tvarim. We're going to see this machlokas later on in the Masechta again. Rabbi Shimon believes the opposite. Shel gazlan machshava mitamatan. Gazlan makshava works, v'shaganav ein makshava mitamatam. Why? Lefi shelo nityashu habalim. Because the balim do not give up. Shmamina yeush kana. That we can see from here that yeush is kone. The machlokus, what I'm going to explain now, is what is the machlokus between the chachamim and Rabbi Shimon? They disagree about the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. Their difference, or the question that they are addressing when it comes to a ganav or gazlan, is what is the more likely scenario in which the balim will give up hope of getting it back? A ganav is someone who steals at night. Unbeknownst to the owner, he comes and he steals at night. A gazlan is someone who steals in broad daylight and the owner knows who stole it from him. So where the chachamim, a ganav, right, is machshava mitamatan, because they have nobody to claim against. You don't know who to go after. You don't know who to go after because you don't know who stole it from you. You can't find the thief. On the other hand, the gazlan, who you know who stole from you, you never give up hope because you know who you know who the other party in the litigation is. So you know who to go after in court. So therefore, you don't give up hope, and therefore, machshava is not enough for the gazlan. Because he doesn't own it. He didn't make a kinyan on it. Right? So according to Chachamim, by Ganav, you have Yeush. Because you don't know who to be Tovei. Since you have Yeush, they're Koneit. If the Ganav is Koneit, he becomes like a Balabait. And a Balabait, Machshava is enough to make it, or bring it into the Parsha of being Mekabel Tuma. Other than a Gazlan, where you do have hope of getting it back, and there is no Yeush, the Gazlan never takes possession of it. And therefore, Machshava can't affect it, because he doesn't own it. He never owns the item. Rabbi Shimon believes chiluf dvarim. Rabbi Shimon believes just the opposite. Why does Rabbi Shimon believe just the opposite? Because he believes that a gazlan, right, you have yeush. Why? Because the guy came and stole it right in front of your face. And you know this guy doesn't care what you think and is not afraid of the authorities. The fact that he walked in here, stole it while you were watching, means that this man has no fear. And that means you probably have little likelihood that you're ever going to get your stuff back. And therefore you're miayish on the spot. And therefore, machshava is sufficient for a gazlan, according to Rabbi Shimon, because he owns it now. There's yeush on the spot. Well, there's a ganav. By a ganav, he came at night. He's scared. He doesn't want to confront people. He knows that if he gets caught, he's going to have to give it back. So therefore, there is no yeush balim over there. The balim don't give up hope, because they have hope that they can get it back from this ganav. And therefore, machshava is not sufficient. But either way, what do we see? The machlokus between the chamim and Rabbi Shimon is about which a ganav or gazlan has yeush. But at least one of them has a yeush that creates a kinyan. And that's against Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef believes there is no such thing as yeush koneh. So he says back, Amalei Rabbi Yosef says back, Hachamai Skinon. Now this is a case, Gagon Shikitz'an. It's a case where he changed them, he cut them. That there's not simply a machshava here, but there's also an action that comes along with it. So that action creates a shinui ma'aseh, right? So once you have a shinui ma'aseh and yeush, right, then those together can generate the kinyan. I mean, that what Rabbi Yosef said is that yeush by itself is not sufficient to create a kinyan. But yeush together with shinui ma'aseh, when you bring those two together, they together can create a kinyan. Matkiflor Rabba Barav Chanon. So everybody asked this. Valo itzba shanukan. Isn't the case that we're talking about here an itzba? Now an itzba, Rashi says, is a dubiki, but it seems to be it's some sort of a mat or that they're a tabletop that they ate on. It was some sort of skin or leather type of serving surface, right? And if we're talking about a serving surface, it's something that does not require any additional action to make it. Like David just suggested before, we're talking about machshava over here, right? So the machshava seems to be that he simply thinks, I'm going to use it for this tabletop. V'itzba ain't tzriach kitzua, right? And we're talking about a tabletop. A tabletop does not require any cutting. It's not. We have an explicit Mishnah. Kol makom she'en chisaron machalacha. In any case where there is no necessary work needed to do to complete the item, machshava mitamato. Then machshava is sufficient. Yesh chisaron melacha, if there still requires work to be done on the object to make it into the final object that you want, ein machshava mitamato, that doesn't work. Chutz min ha'itzba, the exclusion or the exception to this is the itzba. Now again, the exception of the itzba is because, first of all, the itzba can be used as is, and people do cut the itzba. But when they cut the itzba, that is just an aesthetic thing. That's the hidur of the object. It's not a necessary for the tabletop to cut it. People do it as an aesthetic addition to the tablecloth. They cut it. So since the cutting is unnecessary to make it into a functional item, therefore machshava is sufficient. So if that's the case over here, if we're talking about a whole case of itzba over here, how can Rav Yossi's answer be that kitan, that he cut them? El avar marva hai milta koshi baraba the Rav Yosef esrin v'tartin shnin. Rabba challenged Rav Yosef with this question for 22 years. If you remember from the Gemara at the end of Brachot, right, that they wanted to make a Rosh Yeshiva, and it was between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef refused, didn't take it. He let Rabba become the Rosh Yeshiva, and he waited for 22 years until he became Rosh Yeshiva. And there the Gemara says, as the Gemara is talking about, kol shadoche ketasha'a, anybody who pushes time, shadochoko, time pushes him. But kol shadoche, the one who doesn't push his time, doesn't go before his time, in a shadachoko. The Gemara says that there was a gzeirah min hashamayim that Rav Yosef would pass away after he became Rosh Yeshiva. And by the fact that he let Rabba be Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years, he extended his life for 22 years. Had he taken the position of Rosh Yeshiva right away, instead of Rabba, he would have passed away 22 years earlier. So that's the Gemara in Brachos. So over here, they're talking about the whole time that Rabba was the Rosh Yeshiva. For those 22 years, he challenged Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't have an answer. V'lo Yifrika, he did not. He was unable to answer or to respond to it. Ad Yotiv Rav Yosef Pereisho Pirka, until he became the Rosh Yeshiva, and then he had an answer. Shinui Hashem k'shinui ma'asadami. When you change the name, it's like changing, taking the action to change it. I mean, shinui ma'asad, we said before, everybody agrees, shinui ma'asad is kone. Shinui Hashem, what is the status of this shinui Hashem? So that's what Rav Yosef says. Rav Yosef said, Shinui Hashem is equal to Shinui Maaseh. When you change the name, you change, it's as if you change or put action to it. So over here, when you take what is otherwise leather, right, or something that he's working on, skin that he's working on, or rote that he's working on, and he makes them into a itzba, then he makes it into itzba, we have a new name for this item. We have a new name for this item that's the equivalent of having a Shinui Maaseh. So Gemara says, Shinui Maaseh, my time, right? What is the reason by Shinui Maaseh that you're a kone? Hotami kara itzim. The beginning it was wood or plant or boards, right, or trees. Hashta kelim. And now it is a utensil. Shinui Hashem nami. Shinui Hashem works the same way. Mi kara kari le mashka. Before it was a piece of skin, it was a piece of leather. Hashta avarzin. And now, this is the Aramaic word for itzba. Now it's a tabletop. Now it's a, right, it's a functional item. So Mar says, wait, is that really true? Vahare Merish. The case of Merish, the Ika Shinui Hashem. Is it really true that when you have Shinui Hashem, that it really is equivalent or equal to Shinui Maaseh? Right? Why is that? Because, right, Demikara, by case of Merish. Merish is the classic case of Takana Tashavim. So the Chavim made a Takana that you can get, you don't have to give back the original object, but you're allowed to. Right, you're allowed to return the equivalent value. What's that? The case where he took a board and he built it into his house. The board is still intact. He built it into his roof. And now if you're going to make him give back the board, he's going to have to disassemble his roof to give back the board. So Chaim says, in order to allow or make it easier for people to do tshuva, we said they can pay equivalent value. He doesn't have to pay the original board back. Now, that board, the Ikos Shinei Hashem, it changed its name. Mikara Kishura. Before, when he stole it, it was a board. It was a plank. Vahashta talala. And now it's called a roof. Originally it was a board, now it's a roof. So now you have what? Now you have a Shinui Hashem. If you have Shinui Hashem as kone, then what do you mean, takana teshavim? What do you need the chamim to tell you that he can pay back equivalent value? Shinui Hashem is kone, of course he pays back equivalent value. The original object's gone. It's none, but we have a Mishnah that says, ala meirish hagozel sheben obibira, on a board that he steals, that he built into his house, he pays back the equivalent value and not the object itself because of the takanas chachamim in order to make it easier for people to do tshuva. The reason is because of takanas chachamim. Ha, lav hachi, hader b'enei. Had it not been for the takanas chachamim, you would have returned it, right, as is. You would have to pull the board out and give it back, even though there was shinui hashem. So that's a question on Rav Yosef. Shinui hashem doesn't seem to work here. Zama Rav Yosef. Similar to what we saw before with the animals, Meirish Shmo Alav. A Meirish, a board, remains a board even when it's built into the object. The Tanya we have by the building of the Beit HaMikdash, Talot Abayit, Elu Amlatatim, Vauvim, Elu Am Rishot. So Talot Abayit, when the Torah describes the Talot, the ribs of the house, that's the Milatatim, right? The boards that you put around, the frame out the windows and the doors, right? Those are Milatatim. Vauvim, what is described there in the Torah as Ovim, that they built, those are Merishot. Those are the boards. So you see that even though now we have a fully built Beis HaMikdash, and they are called Ovim, Ovim mean Merishot, mean boards. So even though they're still, it's built into a house, we'll call it the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, it's still called, right, a Merish. It still retains its name. So there's really no Shinui Hashem over here. So since there's no Shinui Hashem over here, there is no Kinyan. Rabbi Zeira offers a different answer. He says there's different types of Shinuyim. There's Shinui Achozer Lebriato, right? B'Shinui Hashem, Shinui. When you have a Shinui that can return to its original state, that is not called Shinui. When we talk about a Shinui Hashem, where it changes its name or its status, that's where it's an irreversible change, and a change that cannot return to its original state or being. But over here, since the board, when it's pulled out of the roof, can go back to being a board, back to being a Merish, that's not called Shinui Hashem. Shinui Hashem is a permanent change that makes the name stick, right, in a permanent basis. So those are two possibilities of how to answer for Rabbi Yosef over here. Why do you need Takanat HaShavim by Merish? Either because Merish is not Shinui Hashem, or yes, it is Shinui Hashem, but it's not a Shinui Hashem that's classified as a Shinui because it's a Shinui HaChozer, the Briato, that goes back to its original status. I just mentioned here Tosfos. And so here that when we say that Shinui Hashem is equal to Shinui Maaseh, it's not totally equivalent to Shinui Maaseh, because we said before that Shinui Maaseh by itself can be Koneh. Shinui Maaseh without anything else can be Koneh. Over here, when we're saying Shinui Hashem is Koneh, that's only together with Yeyush. You need Yeyush and Shinui Hashem, but not just Shinui Maaseh. So it is like a Shinui Maaseh, but it's not totally equivalent to a Shinui Maaseh because it still requires Yeyush to help it along in this case. Okay, we'll stop over here.